Before we go into our small groups, I want to share a brief word from the Word to help feed us this week and also to help prepare us for next week. If you could open your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 9. 2 Corinthians, chapter 9. And let me, while you're turning there, wanted to let you know that next Sunday will be Mission Sunday. Tachan had up there the report out, which is true. It's going to be a report about Cambodia. We have missionaries, a missionary couple and their son that we, the English service, officially sponsor. And also, Makiko is involved with an orphanage in Guatemala. And so the money that we collect on a mission Sunday goes to Cambodia and it goes to Guatemala. And that happens periodically, I think once every quarter. So I wanted to share a word about that. And when I come to giving, I'm always leery when pastors talk about giving and money and prosperity, promises of blessing. But here I am doing that very thing. But I think it's a word that our people always need to hear. Before we read the scripture out loud together, I would like just to provide a bit of context. In 2 Corinthians, Paul is writing to a very wealthy church, a very rich church with lots of resources. And he has sent some people to the church to deliver this letter, as well as take a collection. Not for his ministry, but for the poor that he plans to visit in Jerusalem. So Paul is collecting money from rich churches to give to the poor Christians when he goes to Jerusalem. And he's reminding the church in Corinth, I'm coming, and I expect some money, but not for me, but for our people. And he's telling them just flat out. He's saying, you better dig deep. And that's what we find in chapter 8. And he goes on to give some encouragement about that in chapter 9. And we're going to pick up reading verse 6. Verse 6. We'll read just three verses, 6, 7, and 8. And I will continue to read from 9 to 15. But let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Let me continue reading. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God because of the service by which you have proved yourselves. Men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Let me just say this, and I'll be very careful when I say it. God wants to bless you. God wants to give to you more than you could ever ask or even dare to imagine. He is a God who owns this whole world, the cattle on 1,000 hills, the money in 1,000 banks. And he is the God of the prosperity gospel. But I don't preach a prosperity gospel. I don't preach that God will bless you just because. The Bible is clear. God blesses for a purpose. And it's not for your comfort. It's not for your prosperity. It's not for you to sit in a big house and be happy. But it is for his praise. And it is for his glory. If you read there, it's repeated many times. God will bless you. God will richly bless you. God will give to you all that you need. But just as many times as it's written he'll bless you, it's written also that men will give him praise, that he will receive the glory, that people will give him the honor when he blesses you. And you may think, I'm just a factory worker, I'm just a teacher, I'm just a businessman, I live in a small place, I don't have much, you have a lot. I've been around, and I know that you've been around too, and we know for sure that this is not the second wealthiest country for no reason. We live in a very prosperous land, and it is for that it is for the reason that God has given us this opportunity to bless those around us. So I would just want us this week to think of next Sunday. And to think, oh Lord, how much have you blessed me? How much have you given to me and to my family and provided for me? And not so that I can earn your love or if I can receive more love, but Lord, I just want to return the love you've given to me, and I'll give this generously. And God loves a cheerful giver. I love how it says that God loves a cheerful giver when we don't give out of guilt or compulsion. I'm not going to try to guilt anyone. You should give. This is not a teaching about tithing. This is a teaching about giving. And if I just want to ask you, if God has been generous to you, then please show your thanksgiving to him by giving generously next week for Cambodia and for Guatemala. Just something to feed us for this week. Okay, from now, we're going to break into our small groups. Again, the purpose of breaking into small groups is to build our community, is to really connect with each other. I know that we are busy people, and some of us can't even stay during fellowship time after church, and that's okay. And also, sometimes it's difficult to communicate with language barriers and things of that nature. So this is our chance to be intentional and to say we want to connect with each other. But not just to share an update, not just to say how I'm doing and you know what's new in life, but really to share our burdens, things that we really would like to pray, we'd like prayer for, excuse me. So I want us to spend our time wisely and just opening our hearts to one another and then spending time in prayer. So if you could divide your time in half of sharing and then praying, that I think that would be the wisest way to spend our time. Let's break into groups of men and women, men of four or five, and let's cross cultural and language boundaries. Let's have a mix, if that's okay. Japanese, Filipino, and North America, whatever. Let's mix it up, halo halo style. And also, ladies, if you could remember my wife, just in the back, if somebody could just be a small group with her. She's already got a group of little ones with her, but just someone who could pray with her and spend time with. That would be great. Really, I would appreciate it. So we want to finish at about 3 o'clock. So when you're in your groups, take a look at the clock and plan accordingly. Okay, let's go ahead. Break into our groups.